For those who are getting baptized this morning, congratulations! Woo! And for those who are not getting baptized this morning, be listening for the Spirit, because every time we have spontaneous baptisms when people are just ready to say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. This morning, it is an exciting time of celebration as we learn what water baptism is. It's not really a very complicated thing. We don't have to do an 8-week course on it and about it. We're going to simplify it here, right? God, it is so complex and yet so simple that to approach the kingdom of God, it's so simple that we have to do it as a child with childlike faith, just accepting it, not trying to wrap our minds around it, but just accepting it, rejoicing for it. The requirement for being water baptized is to be saved, that you've given your life to Christ. You've received his free gift of salvation. And of course, this free gift of salvation was made possible by Jesus Christ himself, God himself in the flesh. He lived a perfect, sinless life. Then he chose. Oh my goodness, if you missed the service this past Wednesday, you missed amazing. I've never seen a move. We were in the front church. I didn't initiate it. People in the community are tongues as people are in front at the. I've never seen anything like it before. I'm shy, and I'm trying to not step on toes of our differences, you know? We're trying to honor everybody, and so we focus on what we have together, and people are just shouting out, and I'm like, wow, this is amazing. God is doing something awesome in this community. I love it. So, yeah, I'm going to follow some because I lost an hour. I don't know what time it is yet, so bear with me. But this free gift of salvation, I mean, we could talk the rest of our lives about his salvation, his great salvation. It's not just about getting out of hell. I mean, yeah, it starts there. You've been snatched out of the fire, right? You're not getting what your sins deserve because Jesus got it. He willingly, so we talked about at the Lent service, he chose life. He said, I have the authority to lay it down and to take it up. Nobody took his life on the cross. He chose. It down. Amen. Chose. That means he chose you. He saw you in the midst of all sin with all the horrific past, and he still saw it. They're worth it. And Jesus chose to. He became cursed, spit on, punched, name called, so that we could be blessed. He was cursed so we could be blessed. He died so that we could live. Receiving his salvation, you have committed yourself to following him the rest of your life. Your own. You were bought with a price. Paid for in full. Paid in full. And so you surrender your life to his. Now you choose to live by faith in him and his word. But why do we need saved? He's only good if you understand what you're getting saved from, right? And for that, we're going to take a real quick glance. The beginning. In the beginning, God created everything perfect. He created it all, and he said that it is. I don't think that's how he said it. If that's the way he said it, poof. That's like me after I finished doing trim in the house. I'm like, it's good. It'll work. Right? No. God, and he said it is. Yeah. Good. Got to get your slang out. He's good. So good. But mankind was created uniquely from the rest of creation. He got down in the mud, got his hands dirty, and he formed us. He personally breathed the breath of life into his nostrils. We were created in his image. The Bible teaches us. That also means that we were created with free will to do whatever we want. We talked about that freedom in Christ, right? You got the right to do anything, but not everything's beneficial. This man and woman chose the one thing I told them not to do. I know Chad, you're seeing this all the time, right? Anybody with toddlers, tell them not to do something, and it's like, you know, they're going to do it. And that's what they did. They did. Well, I don't think. Forbidden from the tree. The one thing he told them not to do. And from that day on, the rest of us are still born into sin, born of the flesh. That's why people in the world, I was born that way. I don't agree with them, but that's why you got to be born again. Born into the flesh, and now we get to be born again into the Spirit. God gave us the Word, teaching us the right way to live this life that he gave us, like the manual. And so whatever we do outside of that, it's defined as sin. You're supposed to do, or not doing the things you were created on purpose to do. Both of them are sin, according to the Word of God. And the penalty of all sin, no matter what it is death. Not just physical death, but of course, eternal torment, death afterwards. All of us on our own are destined toward hell. That's the second death, filled with torment, the lake of fire. Be to God, that doesn't have to change the destiny for any of us. That doesn't have to be any of our destiny. None of us can live rightly on our own. Came in the flesh, lived just like you and I, tempted and tried in all the same ways, yet lived a perfect sinless life. He took out of temptation single time. And God is still faithful. He will never let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, and he will always take a way out. So none of us can ever say, the devil made me do it. Even if he made you do it, there was a way out. There was a way out that we could have chose. And that's what God's grace equips and enables us to do. When you receive his grace, you are given a grace, a brand new grace every day, to be empowered to always choose rightly, to always take that way out. Jesus receives eternal life. And that doesn't just begin when you're raptured or kicked the bucket. It begins here and now. Today is the day of your salvation. Today is the day of eternal life. We're born again, not just alive physically, but also spiritually, brand new creation. Our destiny is heaven. You're already a member of it. You're already a citizen of it. Whew. God places his Holy Spirit within us, giving us true life. Life like we've never been able to live it for the first time. Water baptism, all that is a physical way. It's a symbol. It's a symbolic way of showing what has happened inside of you. Inside of you. You have died with Christ, and you are raising again into a new life. For those getting baptized, congratulations. You've not only accepted his free gift of salvation, and if you haven't done that, you're going to get a chance to do that here today, but you're also being obedient through this act, declaring death to your old self and embracing a new life. From this day forward, I am Jesus who you say I am. I am a new creation. When the devil tries to remind you of your past, just ignore him. You don't know who he's talking about. That's a stranger. That person's dead and gone. But what is baptism? What is baptism? Well, the word for baptize in the Greek is the word baptizo. It's really simple. And what it literally means is to immerse or submerge. Okay, so that's why we baptize the way that we do. There's a really cool like sauna down here that's really nice and warm right now. And whew, it's warm. View me, it's warm. And, you know, that's why we choose not to sprinkle because, you know, I don't give you an onion ring and call it a cheeseburger. I mean, baptize means immerse or submerge, so that's what we do. We submerge or immerse. We don't, you know, I mean, it's just rude to call it anything else, but that's our take. And we can agree to disagree on that. That's a disputable matter. What's important is that you're following Christ, whether you've been sprinkled or dunked, you know. I don't have any Dunkin' Donuts with me, but that's just, that would have been a fun example. Thanks be to we dunk because it's just so much more symbolic in my opinion, you know, that you are laying down your life physically, and there's so much more symbolism to this, the living water that is now inside of you and all. There are different baptisms in scripture. You find baptism in water, that's what we're celebrating today. We may be also celebrating baptism in the Holy Spirit. Woo, yeah. Now, everybody, when you're saved, you receive the Holy Spirit. You do. And it's an initial deposit. But anybody who's ever opened a bank account, you know that That bank account can hold more than that initial deposit, right? This isn't the Holy Spirit. Spirit is another way that the scriptures say. It's a baptism of fire. It's another baptism we don't. That's what Jesus said. I will baptize you with Holy Spirit and with fire. Now we find people being water baptized in the scriptures first when John the Baptist came on the scene. Jesus is coming, right? Out there in the wilderness, being on. He was a locust and honey. A lot of us Western Pennsylvania can relate to it. You know, out there just living your life. God's good country. That's what he was all about. All right, anyways, I'm sorry. I'll move on. Political on you. Gosh. But John the Baptist was baptizing people in water in the Jordan River. He proclaimed that he was preparing the way for the coming Savior. And he was calling all people to be forgiven of sins. Mark chapter 1, verse 4. This is in the New Living Translation. It says it as simple as you can get. John the Baptist was in the wilderness and preached that people should be baptized to show that they had repented of their sins and turned to God to be forgiven. Okay, that's your 8-week course, right? One verse. You get water baptized to show that you've already received his salvation. You've turned to God. You've been forgiven of your sins. We find in Luke chapter 3 that Jesus himself, as an example of us, he also came to be water baptized by John. Here we also learn of that other baptism that we also find in the scriptures, baptism of the Holy Spirit. Simultaneously, and you may as well. In fact, we read about this here in Luke chapter 3. It says the people were waiting expectantly. That ought to describe the kingdom of God right there, right? If you're a kingdom person, you ought to come expectantly. Not just expecting, but eagerly expecting. Today's the day of salvation. Oh, yeah, today's the day. And guess what? If it doesn't happen today, I promise tomorrow, ever, it's still coming. It's today then. And eventually you're going to be right, because it is yesterday. But the people were waiting expectantly, were all wondering in their hearts, John might be Messiah. John answered them all, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful will come, the straps of whom untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened. And I really hope this happens today. This would be so cool. Yeah. It's going to happen, right, Geraldine? She's bringing. Heaven was opened. The Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And then a voice came from heaven. You are my son whom I love. And with you I am well pleased. And in this scripture we also see this clear example of the Trinity. Three persons, one. You see them separately but working together. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It's just a really cool account that happened. But as John the Baptist explained, water baptism is an outward sign of an inward change. A way to show others that has already happened inside of you. Jesus didn't need to be forgiven of any sin. He didn't have to do anything. He did it as an act of obedience and as a lead to follow, as a lead to follow. Example in water baptism. So as we fall back in submersion into the water, we symbolize the death of our flesh, put into death the old self, and then we rise up out of submersion to symbolize that we have to life by the Spirit. We're a new creation, cleansed and righteous in God's sight. We normally immerse or submerge our bodies in water for what purpose, Nate? Yeah. To bath, to shower, to get clean, right? To cleanse the outside. Sorry, he was really slow on that because we're still working on that. Almost 19, but we're going to get it. We're going to get it. You can put. Any other days in this room? Sorry. But normally that's what we do. Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 3 that we water baptize from the removal of dirt from our bodies, but as a pledge of clear conscience. It's really getting cleansed spiritually. Cleansed spiritually. Again, it's a pledge. It's showing others salvation. that your sins have been forgiven, your conscience cleared. And baptism is a symbolic act of a conscious that one is made to place size here at New Hope. People are old enough to make that decision. And we leave it up to parents concerned when you know your and understands it, you know. They're making a conscious decision. That could be at a young age, and that could be at an old age. It doesn't matter. As long as you're making that conscious decision to follow Christ. Decision on our own, we do child dedication here, as we find in the scriptures. You know, we dedicate the children to the Lord and commitment of the parents to raise their children in Him. So why do we baptize? Why do we baptize? Well, not only was Jesus baptized Himself, but He commanded. I mean, that's a good enough reason He said to do it. We do. You know, why complicate? Jesus commanded that we baptize, we be baptized, and that we also baptize others. It's not something that a clergy member or leader in the church has to do. Anybody can baptize anybody. We are called disciples. We are called to baptize others, all of us. In fact, we find this here in the Great Commission, we call it, Matthew 28:19-20. Jesus said, therefore, go, disciples of all the nations, baptize them, and guess how we're going to do it? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Right? So as I'm dunking you, guess what I'm going to say? I now baptize you in? Man, you guys are so smart. Isn't God's word so simple? So simple. I love it. Yep, that's exactly what I'm going to do, because that's what Jesus told me to do. And also to teach them to obey everything that I've commanded you. So get yourself put into a good church. Get some God's word. A good church of believers who will come alongside of you and help you live it out. Whatever Jesus taught, help you to understand it and to live it. And Jesus gave us this awesome promise. Surely I am with you always. The end of the age. There's also an account that reveals how amazing of an adventure it can be with Jesus. I added this one this year, so bear with me. But it's such an account, I just had to share it. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. So this is after Jesus died, rose again, and also after He went back to heaven. You know, this is the New Testament church. And Acts it says, now an angel of Philip, which this is so much fun, being a believer, being a follower of Christ. An angel comes and go south to the road, to the desert road that goes down from. So he started out, you know, go take a walk. Go to go walk, you know, it's simple. Life in the Spirit, very simple. So he goes and he starts. Hey, have you guys heard anything about Gaza lately? The Gaza Strip. That is such an epicenter for the spiritual battle in the heavenly realms. It's not even. To this very day, there's war raging there, and there will be till the end of days. Sorry, break the news to you. No, nobody's going to do that. It's going to keep happening. Anyways, another rabbit trail. So in verse 27, started out on his way, and when he was walking, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official of the treasury of Kandak, which means queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, see, the angel told him to go take a walk. The Spirit's like, hey, go to that chariot and stay near it. That's it, just go and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and he heard the man reading from Isaiah, the prophet. So this guy was like my wife. They read out loud. Anybody else read out loud? That's all right, maybe the Spirit has a reason for it, you know? So the eunuch, he's reading out loud from the prophet Isaiah, and Philip asked, do you understand what you're reading? Like, maybe not the best way to ask it, but hey, you know, let's and let God add something to work. The man said, how can I? Unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and to sit next to him in the chariot. This is what the passage of the scripture the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. He didn't speak of it, for his life was taken from the earth. But for Philip to be there, we know who that sheep was, who was denied justice. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who's the prophet talking about? Is he talking about himself or someone else? And Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news. It's that simple. Just tell them the good news about Jesus. Along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, hey, look, there's some water. Who can stand in the way of me baptized? He got saved? Now let's get baptized. You know, that's how we do it. And for all of you Bible scholars, verse 37, it was removed in some translations. It changes absolutely nothing about the context. Whether you read it in New Living, New International, King James, New King James, the Message, nothing changes. But I'm going to include it just to be controversial this morning. Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. The eunuch answered, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then every other translation includes verse 38. And he gave the orders to stop it. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, and I hope this happens too, just because I'm a sci-fi geek, you know? As they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away. The eunuch didn't see him again, but he went on his way rejoicing. Who cares about Phil, man? I'm saved. Woo! Salvation! And where did the Spirit suddenly appear? At Azotus, and traveled about the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. So cool, just to be teleported. To know what happened. Full account of it. Baptism is not some magical assurance of eternity. You're not getting baptized to be saved. You're getting baptized because you are saved. Salvation is already accomplished. We do not earn acceptance even by good works, not even by what are we have a heart of gratitude that Jesus has saved us. Our salvation is gained through our faith alone in the work that Jesus already completed. It's by God's grace that you've been saved through our faith. It's not for ourselves. It's the gift of God. And it's not by works, so no one can boast. When we put our faith in Jesus, a miracle takes place. Eternal life. You're literally raised from death to life spiritually. Eternal life in the family of God. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. It's in us, I'm a new person inwardly. Though not changed by Jesus, you know inwardly has taken effect. Oh, inwardly you are saved. We're just not the person we used to be. Paul explained it this way in 2 Corinthians 5, chapter 16 through 17. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded even Christ this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, new creation has come. The old is gone. Who is he? That's it. He's done this miracle. And all the new person, we're not the same person we used to be. Our old self has a way of hanging on to us. I had to as well. We know that we have to struggle. Part of the things I do, I don't do. And the things I know I ought not to do, those are the things I keep doing. And I'm a wreck. But praise be to God, he has saved. Don't think there's something wrong with you or that your salvation isn't genuine when you face temptation and struggle, when you screw up in life. As Marie said, righteousness is not getting it right every single time. Righteousness is when you stumble and fall and you get right back up and you try again. That's righteousness. We use the word sanctification to explain this process. It's a process. You are saved, and you're being saved. You are saved, and you're walking out your salvation. Right? You are a new creation, but you're becoming that new creation. It's just like a child as they grow up. You're going to stumble and fall. You're learning, figuring out this new perfectly at first, but you're going to get better and better at it. Pick you up, clean you off, to try. And we find all this in Colossians chapter 3, but I'm going to skip it for time's sake. You can read this in your own time. So what should we do? have, what should we expect to have happen when we're being baptized? I really need to phrase that better the way I'd naturally say it. What should we expect to have happen when being baptized? What's going to happen? Now, the experience of salvation is very different from one to the other. Some of you may go into this baptismal, come out, and feel wet. That's it. That's okay. I mean, you missed something. Live life in faith, not by feeling. In fact, you crucified those feelings. Now I'm Jesus. That's okay. Some of you may feel some may sense of freshness and newness that I am a new creation. I'm up speaking in tongues, being baptized in the Spirit, and all kinds of miracles. You know, who knows what God is going to do? Who knows what God is going to do? No matter what you may experience, know by faith by the blood that was shed by Jesus. You've been raised person in Him. And so, how do we baptize? How do we do this? So this is the practical part, okay? So pay close attention. So if you're being baptized today, that's awesome. What I'll ask you to do is come on up these stairs. Be careful, there is a cord here. You know, we don't want anyone face planting, and I don't think there's any shark in them waters, so we don't want any fresh blood in the water. But yeah, you'll come on up. There are two staircases. There's one going down into the stage, one going up. What you'll do is walk down in. I'll be standing here in the middle waiting for you. And, oh, I wish I could do a backflip. It would be so cool, but we would need an ambulance to pull that off. So you'll walk down in. I'm going to have a mic. Introduce yourself. No? Just why? I don't think there's any Bobs here today. I'm sorry, Lord. Introduce yourself, testimony to share it. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If you've been redeemed, let people know. That's fine. You don't have to say a thing. If you have placed faith in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, just say, yep, I've gone and done it. Yes, I do. Comes to mind, say it in agreement, and then I'm going to baptize you. What I ask you to do is put your hands over your chest like this, okay, and hold your nose so that you're not like snotting and gargling and everything. If you of our lovely New Mine City Water, pre-chlorinated, we've been blessed. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to say in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I baptize you. I'm not going to force anybody to do anything. I'm not going to shove you under the water and dunk you. When you're ready, bend your knees, lay back. I'm going to have my hand in front of you and behind you. That's why we do the hand thing, because ladies, I don't want any inappropriateness accidentally. You know, in front and behind you. You lay back. Stay back as long as you would like. If you slip and fall, I will help you back up. That's why I'm there. But then come on back up, and that's it. You rejoice, celebrate, or just walk out. Up the steps, on over. If you want to be baptized today, that's fine. There are towels out here. Feel free to grab one, you know, and dry off the best that you can. There's also hot air blow dryers in the. But remember, all that this is saying, you know what? I'm tired of the person that I've been. Today, I'm giving my life to Christ. I'm going to put to death that old person, and I'm raising again as a new creation today. So if you're ready for a fresh start, now's your opportunity. Today is the day for that fresh beginning. I don't care if you've been baptized 20 years before. I'm not religious about it. If you feel the urge to do it again. If you feel like you just need to proclaim to the world, I'm a new creation in Christ. If you need to proclaim to yourself that you then do it. We're here for in Christ there and be like, you know what? I'm here. I'm creation. Help me to remain a new creation and to get better day by day. Right now to do it. All right. Jesus, I thank you. Thank you for leaving heaven. Self in this weak flesh. I thank you for being tempted just the way I am every day. You know my weaknesses and struggles. You know the way I get bound and tripped up so easily. But Jesus, you never once gave in. So Jesus, today, I give my life to you. Forgive me of all of my sins. And just as you raised from the cross, just as you raised from the grave, just as you raised from this earth into a brand new life in heaven, raise this person up. Raise me up into new life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I can be the person you created to be, free, living an abundant life where nothing can get me down or trip me up ever again in your name. Amen.